Could we just pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would bless your people here this morning and help us to bring our lives into sync, into obedience with your word, and help bring us into step with your Holy Spirit, and help us to engage in this wonderful task of bringing the gospel to our lost world. Lord, encourage, build up, bless your people here this morning through your word, by your Spirit, for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, sometimes when I'm talking with people about missions, they ask me a question, and you may have heard the same question asked of you. You know, why missions? Why would you go to the ends of the earth when there's enough work to do here anyway? So this morning, what I'd like to do is look into the scriptures and find three valid reasons, three basic reasons to be involved in world missions. And I call them the three C's. The first C is compassion. Now, we've already read Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus saw the large crowds of people. He realized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed. They were helpless. He felt compassion on them. They were the lost, the crushed, the broken, the poor. His whole purpose in coming to earth was to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to bring the good news of eternal salvation. Or as the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sins, the wickedness of us all. You see, if Jesus hadn't come to us, we would still be lost in our sins. And then the next thing that follows through on that is, if we don't go to others, they will forever be lost in their sins. And so, as we have ourselves received compassion, it's our not only duty, but our deep desire to share that compassion with others. So our mission is, in a very real sense, a continuation of the mission of Jesus. He left heaven in order to bring salvation to this earth. We leave our comfort zone in order to bring his compassion, his salvation, to the ends of the earth. Compassion. The second C is calling. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, if you do know Jesus as your Savior, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, again, I'll just pause here. Do you see, just as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, so now God is, our ministry is an outgrowth, a continuation of Jesus' ministry. First, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now, God is reconciling the world to himself through us. And we have the tremendous opportunity of being part of this reconciliation process. That is, verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God, making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who had no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So again, our calling is a continuation of Christ's work. First, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now God is reconciling the world to himself through us. So this passage identifies us as new people with a new vision and a new mission. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. We no longer focus on the old things that used to get our attention. Now, we've come to know and love Jesus. And we're free from these earthly passions and earthly perspectives. Remember what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? So now we have come to love the Father, this eternal love, rather than to love this temporary world. So we have a new love for God, we have a new love for others, and this expresses itself in the reconciliation process. Now we're going about bringing people, introducing them to the love of God, bringing good news, introducing them to forgiveness and love in Christ. Not only then are we new people with a new vision, but we also have a new mission as ambassadors for Christ. So Paul is saying, this is who we are, this is what we do. We are ambassadors, we reconcile people to God. We have received redemption, and we share that redemption with others. So we have, each of us has a very important part to play in the reconciliation process. We go to the ends of the earth in order to bring people back to God. Prepare the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before going on to this, to my third C this morning, the third reason, I'd like to emphasize this again, this task of being an ambassador for Christ, and what that means. I'd like to point out that our task of world mission is something that is much bigger and better and beyond ourselves. By that I'm saying this task stretches us far beyond our limited abilities and resources. As we engage in missions, we are stretched beyond ourselves because mission extends far beyond this earthly life. It transcends time and reaches into eternity. Mission has eternal dimensions, transcending time and space. You see, we are calling people out of darkness, out of the little hidden corners of their world, to come to God in Christ, into this big world of everlasting love and hope and peace and glory. Do you see how mission stretches us out of our comfort zone? It gets us into the big world of God and his eternal hope and love. We are in the business of introducing broken people to the love of God. We're in the business of introducing rebellious people to a holy God, deceivers to the truth, hurting people to the helper, sinful people to the Savior, lost people to the Lord. So do you see how mission stretches us and pulls us out of our comfort zone, and it's a bigger work than anything we could ever imagine. It always moves us to something far bigger, far beyond ourselves. I mentioned that I'll be visiting our three-year-old granddaughter. Well, this is an imperfect illustration, but let me share it with you. Imagine if somebody would come to my little granddaughter and I would say, I would like to take you to Florida, to Cape Canaveral, and put you in a rocket and have you drive that rocket to the moon. Would she understand what I was talking about? Never. She would have no idea what's involved in taking a rocket to the moon, right? She would have no idea of what is involved in the magnitude and the wonder of going to the moon. It's just beyond her. Well, in one sense, missions is beyond us. Here I am. I've been a missionary since I was young. And I'm saying, you know what? It's still beyond me. Mission is so much greater. Mission pulls me out of my comfort zone, and it moves me to sacrifice, moves me to compassion, moves me to follow my calling. It encourages us to extend and to stretch ourselves and to go all out for God. So we've had the first C is compassion. The second is our calling. We have one to go. Oh, you're not going to be expecting this. The third C, coronation. And you say, just a minute. I thought this is church. I thought this is... where do you get coronation? It's not even in the Bible, right? You're right. Webster's Dictionary says that coronation is this: the act or ceremony of crowning a sovereign. Right? Well, what does that have to do with missions? You know the title Jesus Christ, right? Jesus the Messiah? We know what that means. What does Christ mean? It's Greek. The Anointed One. What is Messiah? Jesus the Messiah? It's Hebrew. It's the Anointed One. Both titles tell us the same thing. Jesus is God's Anointed One. And that means He's the Anointed King. Yes. He's the specially anointed, endowed, empowered one who is empowered by God to be king. He's the true king. Well, we know that Jesus was born, what, in a manger? We know that he was hung on a cross to die. But the amazing thing is, while he is the anointed one, he's never been crowned king. No. Well, he was crowned, granted, he was crowned with thorns, wasn't he? But our desire is to crown him as King and Lord of all. Our desire is to bring him that glory, to bring about that real coronation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us to purchase people for God from every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. And he deserves to be crowned Lord of all. So we're talking about motivation for mission. Our first motivation is compassion. Our second is calling. But what motivates us more than anything else is the desire to give Jesus the glory he deserves. He suffered to purchase us for God. He deserves the glory forever. Now, if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Revelation chapter 4. Here we are, the throne in heaven. Well, just very quickly, we see in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments. Oh, with golden crowns on their heads. How about that? What's this? The elders have the golden crowns on their heads. But then notice, six verses later, what happens? In verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne. They're casting their crowns before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the coronation we're waiting for, isn't it? And then chapter 5, the elders fall down before the Lamb and sing a new song. Worthy are you, verse 9 and 10, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and tongue. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. You see, Jesus is worthy to be exalted and glorified and crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords for two reasons: by virtue of creation, that's chapter 11, chapter 4, 11 of Revelation, and by virtue of redemption. It's He gave His blood. He purchased us. And so what I'm saying this morning, the greatest, most compelling motive for mission is to crown Jesus, our Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why we do what we do. In Czechoslovakia, 1415, that's a while ago, that's 600 years ago, John Huss was talking about justification by faith. And he lost his life. He was burned at the stake. His followers scattered, and for many years were unknown. But then they resurfaced a couple hundred years later in Germany, and they became known as the Moravians. And they started the first Protestant missionary movement. So in 1727, the Moravians sent out their first missionaries. They were zealous. They wanted to do everything they possibly could to get this gospel message out to the world. And here's just some of the things they did to illustrate their zeal. One out of 13 people went as missionaries. Wouldn't that be neat? Maranatha Evangelical Free Church. One out of 13 go as missionaries. They were willing even to go to such an extent as to sell themselves into slavery in order to win the slaves in the East Indies, in the Caribbean. They started a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. And so they were a remarkable bunch. And do you know what their motto was? Here's their motto. I love their motto. Yes. To win for the Lamb the rewards of His suffering. Think of it. To win for the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yes. Right? To win for the Lamb the reward of His sufferings. Jesus is worthy. Right? He alone is worthy. He gave His life. He gave His blood. He ransomed us to God. And now our goal is to do everything we possibly can to win for the Lamb the reward of His sufferings. So why mission? The three C's. The first one is compassion. Yes. We see that people are desperately needy, and we can help. We can help. And the second is calling. We're privileged to be Christ's ambassadors to the ends of the earth. And then the third C, coronation. Jesus is worthy to receive all glory. And so that's why we are involved in world mission. To win for the Lamb the rewards of His suffering. Thank you. God bless you.